Yo, BJ Gadore with the BJ Gadore podcast. And you know what? I'm bringing back people from the past lately in these episodes. And this gentleman we have on today, okay? This is a special guy. This is a special guy. One of the best natural bodybuilders I've ever met. He's also a firefighter. Look, when I see burning buildings, I run away. This guy goes into those buildings. He's a different type of cat. And I want to also kind of introduce him in the sense that many of you don't know this. I got out of college. First of all, I was a lineman in college. So I played at like 275. When I finished my senior year, it was finally like I could actually get shredded, get in shape, get some abs for the first time in my life. And it put me on this track when I moved back from Amherst College in Massachusetts back to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, training at the YMCA in Milwaukee. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'm gonna do a bodybuilding show. The Mr. Wisconsin competition at the state fair, which by the way is like, if you wanna learn about the Midwest real quick, go to the state fair event where you see people bodybuilding and in the audience, they're eating deep fried Oreos and Twinkies. Okay, so it's an interesting culture. I love Wisconsin. It's where I'm from, born and raised. And Jordan was, first of all, this guy, incredible shape. And he kind of took me under his wing and taught me, some simple posing, how he was training for the shows. He didn't ask for anything. This was just out of the kindness and generosity of his heart. So I want to make sure that I kind of lead with that. This is a special guy. This is a really quality human being. And he has both incredible knowledge of how to train and diet for the aesthetics or the bodybuilding style. And the results speak for himself. I mean, you see the overall proportion, symmetry, and muscularity on this guy. He always was the most conditioned guy on the stage. And we'll share a lot of tips as well, because now, again, he is a firefighter. He is a busy father. He's approaching 40. So we'll talk about the evolution of things as well. Before I introduce him, I got him now hiding behind the stage here. Housekeeping issues, all right? Sponsors for the show, SleeveSoldSeparately.com, where you see all the gear I wear in my videos, the tank tops, the hoodies, the joggers, and of course, my world famous short shorts, my shorties, all right? Showing off those, you know, and Jay knows all about this too. Jay Ponder, as I call him, you know, you got to get the sweep of that quadricep, you got to get the belly, the biceps, that hamstring popping, and then you start looking real good in those shorts. And the key is where Jordan always think had that the next level there is, man, his quadriceps look like octiceps. Beautiful teardrop too, okay? He probably should be wearing my shorts, not me. But that's where you get all the gear. We appreciate the support. If you never want to support the content beyond watching it for free here, you know, buying the apparel, that can help us as well. Free 7-day trial to the dailybj.com site and app where you can access all of my workouts, past and present, for just $25 a month, less than $1 a day. Cancel anytime. Ad-free, by the way. Everything I share here, you're getting just a taste of what we have behind the paywall, if you will, with 3 to 5 ads per workout. That can be kind of annoying during a follow-along workout to get an ad from V-Shred or Planet Fitness or whatever they're giving you ads on. I don't even know what it works, but ad-free access. And again, you're supporting this content, allowing us for more energy, time, and resources to get you more stuff, not only on YouTube, but obviously at the Daily BJ. So be sure to check that out. Also, the only supplement I take every day, AG1, a complete multivitamin plus greens powder, all in one, 75 whole food ingredients, 8 to 12 servings of fruits and veggies. It tastes great. And you get 5 free travel packs plus a 1-year supply of vitamin D in my link. All links in show notes. Jordan Ponder, welcome to the show. I'm sorry I got to do that stupid housekeeping every episode.
No, hey, BJ, I appreciate it, man. Like, thanks for, like, you know, supporting those who are supporting you as well. So, yeah, BJ, it's great to see you again. It's great to be with your audience, to be able to catch up, share parts of myself, and to continue to learn parts of, you know, you, and to see how we can have a great time here.
Look, man, I told you before we started the recording, too. Usually, sometimes people come on, it looks like they're in a hostage video. I love that you got your firefighter hat. You got the comics in the background. Talk to me about, it's mostly men listening and men of a certain age, around our age, you know, 40 adjacent, some younger guys as well. But I'm just saying, like, you know, guys that like grew up during the 80s, 90s, action hero movies, wrestling, you know, the NBA at its peak, also comic book stuff that finally came to light with Marvel. And obviously there's a lot of DC stuff I see on the wall too, but, take me through that little comic book montage on the wall.
For sure. So this is my office at my house. I'm a big comic book fan, big comic book reader. Outside of the screen, I've got several of the longer boxes that are just full of comics. And this was a particular project during COVID, in which got to paint the wall with my kids, put this up here as well. And this is just a fun, like, little pop art homage to, like, the Andy Warhol, like, symmetrical, all the same, like, side profile, except for everyone, a side profile, except for Deadpool, who classically is breaking the fourth wall, waving to the viewers. Something that I like about this too is every single character has something that makes them incredibly unique and representative of their comic book personalities. Whether it is a weathered and worn Wolverine, or it is a very smirky, smiling Gambit. And when it comes to this, there's a couple of fun things that it does for me. One, it's just pretty to look at. Two, when my kids are in the office, they can ask about different characters and I can completely nerd out on them and tell them all of the information I have in my mind. Something else that it does for me in a very deep down sense is I will never have a superpower. I wish that I did. I wish that I could jump over giant buildings. I wish I could fly. I wish I could do all that stuff. But I carry a certain mantra that says if humans could have superpowers, it would be empathy, focus, and awareness. And so even in my own mind, I think to myself, like, how am I practicing focus? How am I practicing empathy? And how am I practicing awareness so that, like, I can use those things just to be there, to care, and to have fun. And plus, these drawings are just fantastic. I mean, look at the stuff. So, yeah, that's my display.
Who made this?
I have no idea. Some amazing person on the internet. I happened to just stumble upon it. And I was looking through, like, oh, you know, like, different pictures and, like, different things to put, like, that I liked. And this was just somewhat minimalist, you know, symmetrical and very clean, but just so much juicy stuff for my eyes to see. So, yeah, I got it and painted the wall back black, put it up. And then actually there's LED lights around it, too, that flash with the music that I play sometimes. So I'll be like, the bass hits, and it's just like, boom, 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 boom. I get to see the music and not just hear it.
Dude, I love it. Everyone needs a little man cave. You know, I also like the darkness of it too, because I personally love, I hate these bright lights. Usually I'll have like neon or, my wife got me like this, this thing you plug in and it shoots like stars and nebula and galaxies on the wall. Mm-hmm. I just find it more relaxing. I find calm and focus. And I also like to just avoid like bright corporate lights, right?
For sure.
So I love the vibe of this. And I want to actually unpack the empathy, focus, awareness piece. But I also before we move on from the comics, like, who is your favorite superhero?
Ooh, that is this guy right over here. My favorite is Moon Knight, and he's the only comic book hero I've ever dressed up as. One of the joys of having built an aesthetic over the last, like, you know, 30 years is I can look good as Moon Knight. So it fits. It's fun. It's great. It gets a lot of recognition. People will be like, yo, that's done right. I like Moon Knight. It was great to see him get more publicity through the TV show. He was definitely like C-class.
Was that the Oscar Isaac on Disney?
Yes, yes.
So what's like, what are the three bullets? Like, we got a video game, like, what's so great about Moon Knight?
So Moon Knight is very amoral. So he's a good guy. He works with the Avengers, and sometimes he's like, no, I don't like what you guys are doing. I'm not going to go along with that. He's also very brutal, very ruthless. So when it comes to him messing up the bad guys, he's going to mess up the bad guys. And he's also, with the bad guys very much focus on those who victimize others, lots of things that, like, street level bad guys. Thirdly, though, is the fact that he has three people. So there's three individuals within Moon Knight that he flips personalities between as he goes about. So it's really fun and fascinating to see how he carries that level of chaos in a good way. And the show did a good job representing that.
So what I love about that, man, and this kind of goes into the three things you mentioned, and I saw this in you quickly, and I think this is just common in a lot of really physical people and people that have athletic backgrounds. Like, you're this really fun, kind, like you mentioned empathy, right? You saw like, I had no idea what I was doing. Like posing, it looked like I was shitting my pants.
Oh, no.
Okay? And I remember there was one story I want to share too about like, it was like a week out from the show. And I messed up over the weekend with like a fat load and carb load. And like, I literally looked like, I don't know how I was going to get on stage in 3 or 4 days. And I remember just how kind you were in kind of walking me through it and kind of alleviating some of the concerns and stuff like that. But then I see when you train and I see you on stage and there's just like this Terminator just the switch. So you've obviously got that. And obviously you can't be a firefighter. You can't be going into burning buildings with collapsible stairs and walls and ceilings in the most insane conditions without like a like total flow state, right? You got to get into it, get in and out and focus on the task at hand.
Yes.
It's just like a Navy SEAL situation, right? Or it's just like, to go to the sport metaphor, it's like Michael Jordan, you know, he never had a game 7 in the finals. It never got there. But in game 6, Michael Jordan, you just different type of cat, right? So it's just interesting you mentioned those three things because I'm like, oh, wow, this is what this guy embodies.
Well, I'm humbled by that. I appreciate that. And I think you talked about flow state and even the absence of focus. That's one of the things that's one of the many reasons bodybuilding was right for me at a very young age. Like I knew that was going to be something that I could focus all my energy into. It allowed me to really have a long-term goal and work towards that. When it comes to even firefighting as well, as you had mentioned too, it's definitely like you've got to focus on the task at hand because there are instances in which there is no time to think about anything other than what is the very literal thing that is in front of you that needs to be taken care of. So the problems that present themselves and the solutions that I, by profession, continue to focus on providing and reaching those solutions for individuals and their worst days or what have you, that allows a tremendous amount of focus too. And a lot of different things as well. So when it comes to like the flow state, you talked about different professions that have that need to operate at a high level. Bodybuilding and fitness has always, always, always been that for me. And firefighting is that certainly as well, amongst other hobbies, what have you. But what I enjoy too is the fact that when it comes to health, it comes to fitness, that's something that I can always focus on, always strive towards, always stay with. Whereas firefighting and even my business and other stuff that I do extracurricularly, they have end dates. Like I do not intend to be firefighting when I am 90 years old. But I will say this though, I will be with my health. I will be with my fitness. I will be with my body. And so being able to invest myself in those things has been wonderful and fantastic.
I love it, dude. Let's go in this order. I want to talk, let's just start with firefighting because it's just interesting too. I know a lot of firefighters that like, you have to be into fitness, but there are also like for bodybuilders, it's a way that because the schedule kind of allows you to, right? You're like 3 days on, then you get some time off, and you can do a lot of training between calls. You're kind of around the firehouse a lot, just waiting on the next call, and then you can actually do a lot of working out. So there's like this culture, I think, that it seems to be, correct me if I'm wrong, of like bodybuilding and fitness in the firefighting community by necessity, but also by just the nature of the schedule. Then I want to get into bodybuilding and I want to talk about this business, which that was kind of news to me. I want to hear what you're working on. Then let's go like some busy dad, Fit Over 40 Fitness to kind of finish it off.
Yeah, for sure. So firefighter, I've been a firefighter for 21 years this January. And it's great profession. It's the right profession for me. So when I first came on, there was not a formalized fitness program. There was nothing in place. And at the ripe age of 19, I had already decided that's how I was going to leave a stamp. And the fire service was fitness because it is critical for us as firefighters. And it's essential for injury prevention, mental health, for physical health, longevity, just enjoyment of our off days, all of those things. By the time, there was not a fitness program. Myself being very passionate about bodybuilding, had already done a competition before I even became a firefighter. I knew that I was committed to fitness. Like fitness is just feels like home to me. And the way that hyperactive young Jordan Ponder can be as engaged and physically involved in the world as he wants to be within the right rooms and the right places. So fitness has always been something for me, but that was not always the case with the fire service that I was a part of. So being able to introduce a fitness program, naturally with any profession that has high chaos conditions, any kind of change can be difficult. It was definitely a change that met some resistance, but thankfully dumb persistence allowed me to keep going, finding right people, right places, right things, right ways to incorporate fitness into the fire service. And I want to make sure you also get this attaboy, because BJ Goddard, you were single-handedly probably the most influential individual when it came to fitness within the Milwaukee Fire Department. And that has allowed me to carry that to other fire departments as well. And that myself, our health and safety officer, yourself, and a certain Michael Ball, if you may remember from your gym.
Yeah. He was a member of the fitness asylum in Bayview.
Correct. Fitness asylum, yeah. Dude. We had coffee and you kind of shared the your approach to fitness, which was new to me at the time, of interval working out, of TRX, ultimate sandbag, resistance bands, all these different things. And that was critical for our department, and that's critical for other departments I know, and that was critical for me personally, because that was a significant impact on my evolution in fitness to move away from maybe the massive, get very large in bodybuilding world and then get really lean in bodybuilding to finding a more functional, sustainable level of fitness that is still high performing, but also functional. Meaning that as firefighters, we do not operate in ideal conditions. I am not expected to be in a yoga room with dim lighting and quiet music and trickling water to focus on doing what need to be done, do need to do to get the job done. My profession means, okay, so it's really crappy outside and there is all this stuff that's going on around me. There's trapped or endangered occupants, there's fire conditions, there's radio transmission, there's saws, there's loud noises, there's just, what do we do? You got to get through it. So be able to train even physically in a way that is with unpredictable, unstable implements has been really great for teaching firefighters how to be able to create core engagement, how to adapt, how to respond to load that's uneven, even be able to replicate movements that are more specific to firefighting than like a seated leg extension. So as much as I am definitely a bodybuilder and bodybuilding is probably forever in my genes, teaching firefighters fitness is certainly one thing. What's also more important too is being able to teach them how to operate within their with their body in a way that helps them move better, feel better, and just be better all around. Bodybuilding and firefighting is a great schedule, certainly, as you had said too, because I have the privilege to work out at work. I also have the privilege of having these off days. At the same time, for the balance of the conversation, I mean, at work, I might get an hour of sleep. At work, there might be these different things that happen, but to have the ability to work out at the firehouse, be able to eat at the firehouse the way that I needed to eat as a bodybuilder was absolutely fantastic. Be able to have the off days to also focus on how I train and trying to get as much rest and recovery as possible was very helpful too.
I love that too, because, you know, outside looking at what I've seen firefighters do, typically I see a lot of sauna, obviously, yeah, kind of getting used to the heat. I see a lot of Stairmaster, my favorite cardio machine by far. Yeah. And, but like you said too, what, like to me, a firefighter is like the ultimate man in some ways, or woman, or whatever the case may be, because again, you've got to have incredible conditioning. You've got to have incredible breath control. You got to be able to handle these extreme heat conditions, which weaken you, the smoke. So your breath control and breathing ability has to be off the charts, not just to manage the inhalation and the cardiometabolic side of it, but also just to be able to maintain focus and not panic, right? But then you have to be able to pick people up and hold things on one side or deal with unstable terrain, kind of what you're talking about. So bodybuilding actually probably doesn't really help you get good at firefighting. Muscle mass is great, but you want usable muscle mass. You also want to be able to have balance, stability, and reduce the risk of injury, right? Because the worst thing that can happen, you're part of a team. Right. And when someone goes down, the team is affected, right? So it's more about like preventing injury than maybe necessarily about like enhancing performance, so to speak. Kind of like a pro athlete, right? It's very much like a professional athlete with life-saving skill demands put on top of it.
Yeah, one thing I like to pause on too that you talked about also was like breath work. And that is without question the best thing I think I have been able to teach firefighters is just how to focus on breathing, how to imagine, visualize a diaphragm, practice box breathing, just be able to find ways to make our bottles last longer. So when we go into these idealation environments, these dangerous smoke-filled, heat-filled environments, we're not able to breathe the air, so we have to wear our face piece, which is connected to compressed air. As a result, the goal is to make our air last as long as possible. So as I do workouts with fire departments and I do fitness education, there is a lot of emphasis in all of my trainings start with just focused diaphragmic breaths, just to focus the mind, because whatever has happened in their day and their shift can be so busy that it's like, okay, we can talk about it for a little bit, but then we're going to get into the work. The best way to do that is be able to just focus. Let's just focus on breathing. Let's dial it in. Let's, you know, be aware of our minds, and let's come back to focusing on like just yourself and like what you're doing, where you're at. And all you need to be concerned with right now is breathing at this moment in order to transition into the actual body of the training program. So that breath work is something that is really important within the fire service. And it's fantastic to see it much more talked about as far as just, like you said, like stress management. It is a critical, valuable thing. And it's you know, I'm gonna be breathing the rest of my life. So you know what? I intend to be really freaking good at it. I want to be as efficient with my breathing as possible. And then it helps with the profession too. So, you know, it's certainly performance, muscles that can perform is helpful. Now, the uniqueness too is like the bodybuilding is wonderful. Again, it's my artistic expression of like what I want to bring to the world. When I focus on training firefighters, it is definitely on like, okay, let's get you to do what you need to do with your body as efficiently as possible so that we have less injuries, greater performance, and less energy expenditure.
So, you know, one thing, and I'm sure you were the same younger, right? Especially, you know, guys, everything is so ego-based, especially in the first like couple decades of life. We're trying to prove ourselves. We're trying to compete with each other. You know, we're trying to make a name for ourselves. And the last thing we're thinking about is how to breathe. We want to think about how much strength and muscle and power and how we can express ourselves as the ultra man. And the reality is, like you said, this is in the hierarchy of what's important, breath is number one. And it's not just the fact that you can go harder for longer. It's not just the fact that you can stay calm in incredibly stressful situations, but the management of the chronic stress, right? God forbid someone is injured or you lose a fellow firefighter on the job.
Right.
Manage that and get ready for the next job because, you know, these fires are going to keep coming, right? And this is the same type of visualization and just preparation you can take into your workouts, to a big presentation at work. So I want, like you mentioned the box breath too. And for those new to that, I always have to talk as if no one's ever heard me before when you do these, cause you always got new people coming in, but I've talked about the box breath extensively. This is the technique used by Navy SEALs before they go into missions. Okay. And it's a simple in the way that they'll do it, or it's been popularized. It's in the four phases of breathing are equivalent: 4 second inhale, 4 second breath hold, 4 second exhale, 4 second breath hold. And they ride that breath train throughout the mission. Again, it's a way to just stay calm and focused. And when in doubt, you can always go inside and keep that focus there. And that's what it can apply. And by the way, this can be done just laying down. It can be done seated in a meditative room. I also love to apply it to exercise. I'll do box breath planks or box breath pull-ups or push-ups. I'm a big fan of it on a walk or even a run. Because again, a big part of what it's trying to do for you is you're trying to always stay ahead of your breathing, and you're never out of breath. Because when you get out of breath, that's when you panic. That's when the anxiety takes place. That's when you make bad decisions. So what it's trying to do is bring up your level of effortless strength, effortless performance, which that's calm, that's focused. That's like Bruce Lee, the Bruce Lee style. Like, you know, not screaming and yelling to get through something. It's just like, just relax, calm. So talk to me about like the specific techniques you guys are using, like breath work for firefighters, like going into on-site admission or pre-training, like, or maybe like the recovery breath, like
right. What's
like a handful of things that you're using that could apply to people listening too?
For sure. I think what I like teaching people also when it comes to breathing in the fire department, like, is paying attention. If we're going to a call and I'm getting pumped up, like I'm putting my SCBA on, I put my which has my self-contained breathing apparatus, has my air pack on, I'm putting it on, I'm moving around. Maybe like people when they're newer on the job will run to the rig. So the fire tone goes off, they run to the rig, they're getting dressed up, they're moving so much, they're doing all these different things, they jump in the rig, they're trying to get themselves dressed up, and then it comes back that there's people trapped or stuff like that. It can create you being amped up because one, a person's heart rate is already pumped up because they're moving around so much. And then the emotions of the actual moment go up as well. So not to mention also the fact that, and I'll come back to this in a little bit of a story, the tones make our heart rates go up. Just the tones themselves make our heart rates pump up. So I've enjoyed teaching some of the younger folks too. I'm like, if you realize you're getting pumped up, just take two really slow breaths. Just like stop what you're doing and just breathe from your stomach and just breathe and then go back at it. Because the 2 seconds, the time it will take to take two breaths is going to be more effective and being more focused than all the moving around that just happens ineffectively. So it's like just taking some time. It'll be all right. I was at a fire with one of my guys who was a younger dude, really great guy, big, strong kid. And he's breaking windows, he's smashing them. And I can tell, like, this dude is just, he's just going ham right now. He's just going so freaking hard, right? And we're getting ready to go inside to go search for a possible body. So before I even told him anything, I was like, Nino, his name's Canino. I go, Nino. He goes, what? And I go, breathe. He goes, oh. Because he was so pumped up. And I was like, before we go inside this, I got to know, like, you're totally with me. And he was just going at these windows so hard. He's doing a great job and all of that. But now it's time to shift. It can't be fire it up. I want to have all my facilities, all my awareness. So it's just taking a break. Techniques that are great as well is I will practice breathing like through some other certifications of like original strength, you know, like different body positions of breathing. When I do my workouts with firefighters, when we start off breathing, be on our backs, hand on chest, hand on stomach, and just try to isolate the stomach rate, high, raising and lowering. Paying attention to, like, you talk about four breaths in, hold for four breaths out, hold for four breaths. That's a great thing too. Also, I'll do it where people are on their stomachs. So now the ground actually gives them some sort of feedback about where they're breathing from. I also have practiced, like, practicing counting my breaths before I fall asleep as a way of, like, there's always many things to think about. And knowing that at that moment, there is nothing I need to think about but going to bed. And so using that. But one of the things when it comes to breath work, if I may, that's really great, is I was a part of a heart rate study through Dr. Kyle Ebersole, who's the Dean of Kinesiology with UWM and a partner with us for our fitness program. So we're a heart rate monitor for several shifts, and I would sleep with it. So I was on the engine, and then there was the truck in my firehouse too. So it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, and the fire tones go off, and it's, you know, poop. So I pop up out of bed and get ready to go to the call, but then I find out it's just for the truck. It's not for the engine, right? So I go back to bed, lay back down, okay, go back to sleep. A couple hours later, same thing happens. Fire tones go off, boop, and then it's for the truck, not for the engine. So I go back to bed, but I did something differently. In the morning, Dr. Ebersole asked me, goes, hey, so when this fire tone went off, these are the numbers that I remember from what he gave me. So like your heart rate was at like 45 or like 50. He goes, when the fire tones went off, it went to 107, okay, just with the tones itself, because our body's getting ready to go and do the job that we need to do. He said, and then it took about, I think it was like, it took 90 seconds to come back down to resting heart rate. He said, but the second time, He says your heart rate went from resting heart rate up to 107, 110 beats per minute, and then it came back down to resting at half the time. He goes, what did you do differently? Like, he sought me out to find this as he's going through all of his data. And I told him, I said, I just sat at the edge of my bed, and I just took five great breaths. Just five, just big. Just slow, deep breaths, and then laid back down and went to sleep. So that was enough for me to be aware that it helps me, but also knowing that it activates parasympathetic nervous system, helps to slow heart rate, calm mind, slow respiratory rate in a way that is beneficial. And again, that anybody can do. So anybody can do these things, just taking a minute to just practice breathing, taking 2 minutes to practice breathing. If I start my own workout routine, I'm gonna take some time to just practice breathing, be aware of like, okay, where am I feeling sore? Where am I feeling hurt or whatever? And what needs to stretch, what needs to like relax more. And then even when I'm done with my routine, to kind of come back to, as somebody who works out in his basement many times, and I've got the kids at the house and I tap into that headspace that says, we're gonna go and crush this workout and be so dialed in. I'm gonna make these weaker muscles work really hard. When I have that high intensity mindset and my kids are here, I wanna make sure I can put that away. So my end of my workout is just focused breathing. It is changing the music. It's coming back to a spot where I can like clean the dishes and make, you know, and make dinner and not like think I'm curling like 50 pounds and with a pot roast. So definitely breathing is just an essential part for me. It's an essential part to teach. And it's something that any of your viewership could just practice now, like wherever anybody is at. Like, you don't need anything special for it. It's just always accessible to you.
And the one thing I want to add to that, because it's like you said too, like people, and I used to do this too. I used to, every workout was dependent on my ability to pull like ancestral strength into the session. Like, it was adrenaline based because I was trying to be super maximal every workout, which is not sustainable. You're going to hit plateaus that way because you can't be a hero every workout. And right. Eventually too, it leads to injury as well. But beyond that, if you don't proactively shift out of that state, you're going like, you're bringing that to work. You're bringing that home, that the type of like that crazy, you know, like the crazy energy. No one needs that. Like, you're on edge. And I felt it. Like, people are like, wow, this guy came into the room and like you can feel me over there. You can feel what I'm emitting. So it allows you to be able to shift states seamlessly. And it's important. And beyond that too, I talk about this all the time. Like, people now have a 10-second attention span because of social media. Right. I see it. You know, when I do a video that goes from 15 to 30 seconds, just 15 more seconds, Jordan, half the people leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And like, what can you accomplish in 30 seconds teaching someone? Or that's beyond this. What I'm saying is the reason breath work is so hard is we're also scatterbrained and stressed and constantly overstimulated. And it can take, as I was like 3 or 5 years ago, like I used the pandemic as a tool to like go training camp on a bunch of things, and breath was one of them. Mm. And it would sometimes take me 5 or 10 minutes to finally get in the state. But with regular practice, it only takes me now sometimes a single breath. And I can go from being like ready to kill someone to chill, relax.
For sure.
It's something that like, just like if you're constantly doing mobility throughout the day, you don't really have to warm up really for a workout because you're already loose, right? That's the same thing. Is the more you do it, the quicker you can get into that state and the more you can get out of it in a shorter period of time.
Correct. Yeah. And I mean, I don't think there's some people I have just practiced like, hey, they're like, hey man, I want to like build muscle and lose fat, right? Like, okay, well, when's the last time you practiced breathing? They go, what? I go, well, come on over here. Let's choose this. Cause now I am somebody they're going to listen to. I'm the expert. And I've essentially like mandated, this is what we're going to do, and laying them back down and being like, okay, let's focus on how you breathe like this. And this individual comes to my mind when he popped up, he goes, oh my goodness, Jordan, it's like, I feel so good. Oh my goodness, this is like almost euphoric. I was like, well, you're probably like borderline hypoxic every day, all around the rest of the day, because you're chest breathing, like on your shoulders, this or that. You're always in these different positions instead of taking time to actually practice it. And I can say that routinely when I teach classes and we practice breathing, and I can ask everybody, be like, after I've mandated again, because like some of my audience is trapped. You know, we're in, I'm in a quasi-military organization, so they have to do what I say. So I say, like, stop doing, we're not going to run around. We'll run around crazy in a little bit, but right now is to take time to breathe. Every time, if I'm like, okay, so like, we're like, practice breathing, let's talk about it. We do it. And I say afterwards, how do you guys feel? And they go, good. I go, how do you feel? Like, I feel so relaxed. I'm like, yeah, guys, like, this is an internal stress management mechanism. Like, what was to be used to rest and recover. Something else too, when it comes to techniques, right? What I do in my own fitness train that I also do in the fire ground, because the whole purpose of, again, I use the term training, as I think you focus on as well, because working out in my mind implies I do it once and then I'm done. All of this stuff is intended to be like compounding developmental. On the fire ground, I work. When I find those opportunities to take a break, like, for example, I'm waiting for the fire hose to get water into it, or I'm waiting for my crews to catch up, or I'm waiting to go and make a radio communication to the chief outside the building. I use those instances to immediately come back to my breathing, to focus on my breathing, because I have the ability to. When I'm focused on the task at hand, the task at hand is the task at hand is the task at hand. So I'm not going to isolate my breath. But when I have those instances on the fire ground of actually be able to like take a break and be still, I'm going to go right back to my breathing. I'm going to go right back to my breathing to slow myself down, to keep my SCBA, my compressed air, longer in how it breathes and how I can breathe with it. And then one of my workout routines as well, I'm very huge on inhaling when it's easy, exhaling when it's difficult. It is coordinating the breath with the movement, with the exercise, whether it's cat cow, it's thread the needle, or it's a deadlift, making sure that all those things work together. And then when it is time to take a break, recover momentarily between the next, between sets, is then to focus on my breathing, come back to focusing on breathing. What I found too is that now when I am not focused on breathing, I am still unconsciously paying attention to my breathing. And that helps me as a firefighter too. So in those instances in which I'm putting up a roof ladder, or we're cutting holes in the roof, or we're overhauling, we're searching for hidden fire by pulling down ceilings, I can still be aware of how I'm breathing passively, like unconsciously, because it's a trained thing, you know?
Absolutely, man. Again, I think every hour it's good to, and it's part of why I do, I call it EO, every hour on the hour, I do at least a minute of mobility. But the thing is, every movement I do has a breath strategy. So it's built in breathing, it's built in mobility, it's built in energy, stimulant free. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. Again, like, if there's one thing to add or take from that, just learn the box breath, because it's a simple technique to remember. It can help you get ready for a workout. It can help you find calm and focus in highly stressful situations. It can help you go to sleep or take really quick, fast, powerful naps. It's got a big bang for your buck. And look, firefighters do it, Navy SEALs do it. So if it's good enough for them, it'll be good enough for you. Let's talk about like the you know, another thing I see, like, obviously you guys have a lot of equipment on. So I'm assuming a lot of weighted vest or rucking, indoor stairs. Like, talk to me about what those type of workouts look like. Because again, like, there's no better cardiovascular workout than stairs. You add weight to that. You obviously add the impairment of breathing to it. Like, this is like as hard as it gets. What are some of the standards you guys have to hit to be eligible to fight fires? I mean, like, what's that look like?
Yeah, for sure. So in order to get into the Milwaukee Fire Department, a lot of other fire departments, there's a thing called the CPAT test, which is like a physical ability test. And it's their effort to replicate the tasks that we have to perform on the fire ground. So at any particular fire, we might have to pull a body, climb stairs, force a door, drag a hose, climb a ladder. And so when people are aspiring to get into the fire service, those are certainly standards they want to meet, is be able to do those tasks that are required of them. Some of the ones that I mentioned are on there. There might be like one or two more within the time frame that's required of them. Training under load. If someone's training for the CPAT test, you definitely want to be able to train under load, because you will be wearing a lot of, I mean, as firefighters, we wear our turnout gear, and our turnout gear is in another 60 pounds or so. So weighted vests are really a great way. And I know that you are great at walking in your vest as well. And that's an awesome thing to do because it's combined weight, you know, and I am somebody who trains a lot of mobility, trains a lot of dynamic movement and just likes to move quick. In my turnout gear, I am restricted. I am confined in some ways. And now I'm able to get around it, of course, but being able to be familiar with that is very helpful. So one thing that I've enjoyed learning through our fitness and wellness program with Dr. Ebersole and lots of other great mentors is they've equated firefighters as like kind of like MMA athletes. Like an MMA athlete has to have strength, they have to have power, they have to have endurance, they have to have, you know, mobility, stability, of course, flexibility, and those things. But also as us as firefighters, we have to have that essence of skill that's at the top of that, you know, performance triangle. So being able to perform the tasks that we have to do is important. So putting up ladders, chopping holes, forcing doors. I mean, there's extrication equipment we need to use. There's moving bodies, like whether it's at emergency medical scene or it's at a fire scene, like you have to pick up load and you have to transfer it somewhere. So stepping through like the stair steppers are great. Weighted equipment is great as well. When I focus on training programs, it's definitely on multi-planular movements. Definitely on getting people to not just do everything in one plane of motion, but have complex movements. I'm a big fan of putting together like circuits for people so that it can be from one to the next. It helps with the culture of the fire service where everybody can be involved and everyone can kind of be working together on the same thing. I'll start off too by saying it's essential, like talk about breath in the beginning, dynamic warm-ups, and then of course some stability exercises, whether it be so dynamic warm-ups being cat cow, bird dog, hip circles, seal jacks, maybe, you know, body weight squats, things like that, kind of open up the body, get a person prepped. Stability exercise, which is learning to resist movement. So be able to get in some planks, I'll even use like fire hydrants as one and just kind of encourage that peak contraction, really isolate that glute med and get those strong, those muscles that need to be strong that are oftentimes not working right to really fire. I mean, doing hand foot crawling, stuff to try to get the body to resist rotation or resist movement, and then going into the body of the workout where it now is, you know, incorporating, you know, gait, push, pull, you know, squat, lunge, rotation, and hip hinging, and then trying to combine them in certain ways. So putting like a pull with a squat or a hip hinge with rotation. So that way a person is putting together a workout and it hits all of those essential things. And in my own programming that I do for firefighters also in the skill aspect of things, I try to incorporate like games so that people now are paying attention to not just like, it's cool to be like here and be like, it is just me and oneness and all that is my movement. I love it, right? Like sign me up. But that's not the world I live in. Like you talk about being a busy dad too. Like I got to cook dinner and still have three different conversations. And I love it and I'm here for it. And I have to be able to respond. As a firefighter also, if I'm only focused on me doing the movement properly, that just doesn't work. I have to be able to operate unconsciously and try to see if I can develop these skills with deep focus in a way that is incorporating, like, I have to pay attention to the person I'm with and the environment that's around me. So it's not just me in like sacred space. It's me and what else is happening around me. And it's fun to do, like, one, it's great to see firefighters get really competitive over some of these games where I'm like, yo, guys, like, this isn't even that serious, but you're getting mad at each other. Like, this is wonderful. I mean, some of my favorite stuff is like PVC pipes. So two people facing one another, PVC pipe each in their right hand, and then I'll tell one person to mirror me. So they're following what I'm doing, and I'll move, I'll kind of like dance, and the person stays with me, and then I'll throw the PVC pipe, and then when I throw it, they have to throw it too. And as they do that, then I have to catch it, they have to catch it. So then now we're walking around, and then I'll squat, and then I'll lunge, or I'll like jump somewhere and they have to try to mime what I'm doing. And then I'll throw it back and they throw it back to me too. And so now it's not just like I'm moving perfectly. The goal is, am I still paying attention to what's happening to me? Am I still kind of like multitasking in a certain way? And that's a fun way to be able to do that. So, and then of course there's the end of the training. It's gotta be rest and recovery. The work is only as good as the recovery that follows. So it's making sure that, because sometimes people will like just be like, oh, that's the fun part. That's the stuff that I like. Nah, man, let's get some good static stretching in. Let's come back to breathing. Let's take a second and think about what you accomplished. Did you have a good time? Awesome, great. And it's that discipline of working towards recovery and not just beating ourselves down, because that's where the change really happens, my friend.
So there's no like, I always think, again, this is just what happens when, you know, I always think of the scene with, I think it's Daniel Baldwin and Kurt Russell running up the stairs in Backdraft. Is there any of those like kind of competitions happening?
Oh, for sure. I mean, definitely. I mean, that's just, that's innate, you know, it's like run, damn you, or something like that.
Yep.
I mean, so other things like from the Fire Academy, lots of training in the Fire Academy, lots of training in the Fire Academy, lots of climbing the cat ladder, lots of carrying hose. Stuff that we do in firefighting is certainly, we train regularly when it comes to like training for the actual function of the job itself. And like the fitness training is much more what I was communicating about, but certainly like training for the function of the job. Oh yeah. There's plenty of that. Plenty of that. It's beautiful.
What, as a firefighter, what do you think? I mean, I love the movie Backdraft. Obviously I was a kid when I saw it, but what do you think about that movie? It's a movie, it's entertainment, but what did you think about, especially like what it was like at the station and then just the camaraderie and stuff between guys?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. I think Backdraft is a fun movie. You know, it's a fun movie. What I do think is there's probably more times it's been satirized than glorified in the firehouse. There's certain lines that are just so dramatic. And I don't think any of us really take ourselves all that seriously. What I do like about it, though, is they do a good job capturing the culture of the fire service. I would say, like, from Tacoma, FD, to Ladder 49, to Backdraft, like, the firehouse culture definitely does a great job catching it. Now, I will tell you, you will never see me running in a fire with my coat wide open, like, you know, helmet on. And like hearing a kid with like smoke everywhere, like that just doesn't happen. Like it's just, so it's wonderful that Hollywood can make it even more dynamic and more like sensational than it is. The legitimate truth of fires is they are crazy. There can be wild, there can be chaos, but a lot of times it's just fumbly, bumbly, like crawling in dark and then all of a sudden like bump into somebody and like try to find something. It's just not, you know, there's no coats wide open and there's flames like here and there and all this or that, you know? So that's the part that's kind of gets easily satirized.
So that you got to save that for like the sexy calendar, right? Right. You guys have a station calendar. You guys got to do one of those to raise money.
So I will say there's a great organization called Ignite the Spirit that does firefighter calendars, and they're a cool organization that helps like firefighters in need and stuff like that. I have not done one. I don't intend to do one. It is definitely the smolder. There's definitely the smolder. I just don't take myself. I just
see you like with, again, jacket open with an axe and just flexing on them. You know, and then also just the toe point on the quad sweep. Like this is an untapped market. I'm telling you, right.
This is truth. This is truth, my friend.
So those listening, you can obviously tell, you know, Jordan, the best of what they do, they're students of the game, they're masters of their craft, not just with firefighting, with bodybuilding. This guy really, he immersed himself in the culture of natural bodybuilding. And I want to stress natural. This is the true original intent of this. And what's crazy now, too, is, and I, like, the second year I did that, Mr. Wisconsin, I lost to a guy in the heavyweight division who was like in his 40s and clearly on steroids. This is supposed to be an amateur natural competition, and drugs had already been infiltrating that, you know, back in 2006. And now you see the natural bodybuilding shows. These guys are clearly on a wide variety of stuff. Like, so it's even the natty stuff isn't natty. Talk to me about what natural bodybuilding means to you. In terms of like why you were so passionate about it, the importance of remaining natural, and then also just how how you trained early on. Because one thing that always stood out to me was your conditioning was just next level, which really, as a natural bodybuilder, that's what it's all about. Like, you reach your genetic muscle building ceiling quite quickly, like in 3 to 5 years of doing it. It's right. really just how can you show it? Can you put it together and can it look, can you present it in a way that, there's the symmetry proportion? Obviously, the posing is so important, showing all the work and being confident and not looking like, and that's where Arnold really differentiated himself. He was just, he was the best poser. He just was a true showman. And you also had that too, man. Like, I remember the music you would put on and the moves you were showing, like, it was next level.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks a lot. I mean, bodybuilding will forever, ever, ever have, I mean, I've used the term bodybuilding raised me in my adult life. You know, it raised me in my adult life and I love it so much. It was, so I remember being like 5 or 6 years old and seeing my, like a bodybuilding magazine my mom had and being like, I want to do that. Like, I'm going to do that. Like, I'm going to do that. And then I was just always, you know, I got in trouble. Like, you know how it's like, we have to encourage people to move around nowadays. People are so sedentary. I was always a mover. I was always a mover, always a shaker. And so as a kid, I was like, be able to take that energy that was just natural for me and not get in trouble and being able to go somewhere to make something productive out of it. So after high school football was over with, I was like, I'm starting competing. Just enjoyed immersing myself in information, application, trying to develop and grow myself, like both outwardly and inwardly in great ways. Gathering information and seeing what worked and what didn't work. What I enjoy about bodybuilding is it's a consistency game. It's a consistency game. There is a consistency game. So being disciplined about how I ate, finding, you know, learning the fundamentals of nutrition at a very young age was great. I mean, being able to have clean, lean protein, complex carbohydrates, and healthy unsaturated fats was great. So having that was helpful. My competition approach was I honestly never had any interest in doing steroids or, you know, performance enhancing drugs, because I want to know my potential. You know what I'm saying? And I think the human body regulates itself because it's supposed to. So if I override that system, I'm making it do something it's not intended to do. And steroids is introducing, or whether it's steroids or it's insulin, it's introducing things in my body that my body does not want to utilize. And so then I'm hacking into a system, making it do what I want it to do, which is not natural. It's not what's intended to do. So knowing early on that that was not a particular interest of mine was helpful to be committed to a natural bodybuilding lifestyle. I can also say that, there have been times where I've seen people at like the grocery store who I know had used and they were no longer competing anymore. And I think to myself that it's possible that could carry some regret where it's like they did so much to their own body and maybe that does or doesn't have health impacts, but regardless, they're not using that anymore. Like this particular individual who's a great human, he's talking to me about like, yeah, I got to get my toilet repaired and, you know, I got to do this and I got to do that. So all the dreams of grandeur that most bodybuilders have of being like the next, like biggest, baddest guy, it comes to a point of like, maybe you will be, maybe you won't be. But at any rate, I don't want to have done it a way that I would regret. And steroids, I know, is a way that I would have regretted. And it's possible that people do regret it. I can say that in my bodybuilding journey, I definitely subscribed to some of the unhealthy nature that was taught at bodybuilding at one point in time, which is get really, 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 really big and then get really, 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 really lean. And get really, really big and then get really, really lean. At one point in time, I was like 275, which is about 70 pounds heavier than I am right now. And that's because I believed I just needed to eat and lift big and do nothing else. That's it. So getting that large, and then I lost 50 pounds for a competition and it was terrible. And I wasn't even ready for the show. So I wasn't really happy with my performance at the show. And that's when I like knew I needed to burn all my notes, start from scratch. And that's also partly where we started talking as well, like learning different things of training styles, training implements. And then I still competed for a very, very long time after that. And then, but I was much more focused on getting my body to work together and being like functioning properly and like being more efficient with how I move than, because I knew I was never going to be like a 300-pound giant beast, like mass monster. And I don't want to be that. I want to be able to be good at what I do. So I think with, and that was transitioning more into like functional stuff, but always with an emphasis on isolation of muscles. So there's no question, as a bodybuilder, a person needs to train like a bodybuilder. That means it could be a myriad of different things, but my training did focus on like a chest day, a back and shoulders day, an arms day, legs, and then accessory days, things like that. What I enjoyed about it too over time is finding better ways to isolate those muscles that I'm trying to work. So even now, like I'm stronger now than I probably have ever been, but I lift with greater isolation and focus on the muscle I'm trying to work now than before. And that comes from just really drawing mind to body and being like, if I make this bicep curl, it's gonna be the best freaking bicep curl ever. And if I can do 10 of those, then I have gotten a lot out of each repetition. And that's one of the things that I definitely enjoy about bodybuilding, just fitness in general, is with each time I am exercising, I'm trying to draw on that mind-muscle connection, trying to feel the tension where I need to feel the tension, trying to isolate that which I'm trying to work. And that has really taken my training to a higher level. When it came to being on stage, so I turned a natural pro, I think in 2013, competed as a professional a couple times, and I just wanted to stop traveling. Like I didn't want to fly for these shows, and most of the shows were out of state. That's also when the NPC came up with the Classic Physique class, which was like, that was like a natural bodybuilder's dream at one point. It was like, cool, this is a place for us, because they want guys who look more like the old school bodybuilders who are leaner, more conditioned. You can get actually docked for being too big. So like, great, that's for us. Doing that and knowing that even still I was competing against some people who may have been on performance enhancing drugs, but I just didn't care. Like I just didn't care about the placing. I just wanted to be on stage. And so my coach at one point, Marcus Codwell, who's fantastic, he and I were prepared for these shows. We just knew that we're going to do what Jordan does. Like, don't care what the judges want. I want to do what I do, which is I want to come on stage as being the leanest, driest, best conditioned individual. Ways that was helpful too is I enjoyed doing a lot of sprinting. I enjoyed doing my sets in between sets. Between exercises, I would go on the treadmill and just sprint in an incline for about a minute and then pop off. Also, staying lean in the off season was probably one of the most helpful things for me. Not getting so high up in weight that I had so much to lose, but knowing that I could lose 5-10 pounds and be ready for the stage allowed me to be harder, leaner, and tighter all the time. Posing practice is probably one of the best ways to, for an aspiring bodybuilder, to really deepen their conditioning. One, being on stage, posing is probably one of the worst parts of bodybuilding, like the mandatory routines, right? Like all of the, because it's so uncomfortable, it doesn't feel good, and you have to hold the position for a long time, and you need to look like, detach like your head from your body, so you're like smiling here, but everything is angry chin below, right? So holding these poses, keeping them tight, posing was definitely a huge part of the conditioning too. You talked about posing routines as well. So I personally, it's funny because I didn't know that this wasn't how everybody felt about it. I always thought of bodybuilding as a performance art. Like I always thought of it as like, I don't know, hand me some streamers and whee, and I'm going to flip around and I'm going to do all this stuff. Like I'd be just so happy doing that as a perform on my stage too. And when I put together my routines, it was always with the purposeful music, always with something that said, it spoke something deeper for me than just me going on stage, stomping around like I'm awesome. It was a hope of communicating, bigger stuff, ideas, feelings I had at the time or whatever. And then coordinating my poses to flow seamlessly into one another and try to make it mirror like a fluid dance-like motion on stage. And I got a lot of echo for those efforts in that I have a lot of best poser trophies. I remember going on stage and hearing one of the judges or one of the, I'm sorry, not judges, but one of the show managers off stage. I hear him as I'm walking up on stage. He goes, "This guy's my favorite poser ever." I'm like, "Oh my goodness, incredible." So with the focus on posing, there was, I had somebody when I was 16 years old, would watch Flex Wheeler pose. The way he did his posing was just absolutely amazing to me. I would rewind it. I'm doing this because it was on a VHS tape, right? And I mean, like back in my day, rewind, play. Like, how did he go from here to do this? Like all these great things. In 2021, I did a show here in Milwaukee area, and it's after the mandatory poses are done. And I walk towards the, I'm walking through the venue, and I hear somebody say, "Your posing's on point." And I look over, and it's Flex Wheeler. And again, this is like 20 plus years after I've been idolizing this guy my entire bodybuilding career because of how he posed and presented himself on stage. And he says to me, "Your posing's on point." And I go, "Whoa." I was like, "Whoa, hang on a second. Hang on." I was like, look, Flex. I said, "I'm not trying to fangirl out right now, okay, man? Or I'm telling you right now, I'm not trying to fangirl out on you right now, okay?" And he just goes on and on and on. He goes, "Wait, hit your side chest and then the side tricep. And then you did this and you did that." And it was like he understood. And he understood because he was the person I drew most inspiration from in doing my routines and doing my like mandatories and all of that stuff. And then I was just like, "Hey, man," I was like, "I've been looking up to you for like ever. Can we take a picture?" He's like, "Yeah." We just talked for a little bit. And then that was after competing for doing bodybuilding for 19 years that happened. And I remember when that was done, I was like, "What's left?" It's like, "What's left?" I was like, "I've got these trophies, right?" And they're like in my basement. They're in my basement. That's just where they are. I don't necessarily have the same investment and attachment to my trophies. But those experience in the process is what I like the most. So then when Flex Wheeler, the guy I've been looking up to, like bodybuilding daddy, says, "You've done good, kid," I'm like, "That's it. That's it." And so that's where I like hung up the suit. I did one more show in Nationals. I just need to do one more show. I hung up the suit and my heart's still there. People still tell me I should compete, but it just ended so good in a way that I was so happy and so privileged to be like, this is the way to go out. Like my terms, like with bodybuilding daddy saying, "You done good, kid."
Dude, I love that. And you know, what's interesting too, and I want to get, you know, feel free to agree, disagree with what I'm about to say, but my bodybuilding is, when done properly, when done naturally, and again, that's why you can't take advice from, you can only take advice from natural bodybuilders, because again, they can't, like a guy on drugs can just throw everything at his body and it's all going to work. And the recovery is going to be almost instantaneous, where a natural bodybuilder really has to pick his spots, his sure. or her spots. And because you don't have superhuman recovery. So the other piece of it too is, I came in from a football training background right into bodybuilding. So I kept training like a football player, which means get your sets done as fast and as explosively as possible. Where the biggest things I took from bodybuilding training were, number one, you mentioned the isolation body part workouts. Like, it's not that you can't like become a good natural bodybuilder with full body training, but thing is, you do have to really focus on mind muscle connection. And when you're doing a lot of full body training, your focus is being spread out across your body. Right. Whereas when you do a quad workout or a leg workout or a bicep workout, it can literally, everything can be directed there. It makes a difference because you have minimal resources, minimal focus, and you got to max out a muscle. You need all of it there. So that's one thing to know too. It's like you can do full body, sure, but like right. most natural bodybuilders seem to lean the route of body part style workouts. The other piece is making it last, like Keith Sweat. Bodybuilders make their sets last. They know how to make lightweight feel heavy. It's that yes. time of attention focus. Yes. I'm talking natural bodybuilders. Right. And that was a big shift for me, which is why like people are like, "Why do you do all these 2-3 minute sets?" Well, it's because I like to make it last. And by the way, when you make it last, you can still reach failure towards the end of the set and fatigue all your fibers. And you may not be as strong as, say, the guy or gal that's doing the heavy, really high loading stuff, but you're getting that metabolic stress, that pump and burn, and you're getting insane mind-muscle connections, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can take a pair of 50s and curl them. I can take a pair of 25s and curl them. I'm going to get a much better bicep workout with the 25s.
Right. Here's so there's something also to that as well is the goal is motor recruitment also and creating high tension. So The 25 pounds, it's making the 25 pounds feel like 50 pounds.
Yes.
That's definitely where my goal is for longevity, because I'm happy to be strong enough to perform my job. I'm happy to be strong, but I want to have as much longevity as possible. And if I can make 25 pounds create the stress on my biceps that 50 pounds can create, then I've allowed my joints to rest better. And I'm not swinging. I'm not doing all these things that cheat the muscle from actually getting the stress that it needs. So, yeah, it's for bodybuilding. Again, if I'm not talking powerlifting, I'm not talking even, you know, football. From a bodybuilding standpoint, it is creating as much tension in that muscle as possible. And the weight is there to give you feedback, and tension to create it against.
And again, it's not to say that, again, I think some of the best bodybuilders, they also have like that 20% of like classic strength training. Cause again, it gives that dense, hard, like linebacker look, right? But 80% of the work typically is done more time under tension based. And by the way, like people listen, I don't think I understand like what he just said. It might take you 50s. To get the effect that Jordan can find with 25s or even 10-pound weights. What does that mean? You'd be like, well, that's so? No, it means that much less joint stress.
Right.
And he can get the same effect, if not better, from the muscular training effect. So that's really what it's all about. And I tell people, like, again, fastest way to start gaining more muscle is to cut the weight in half and double the time under tension. And it's easier on the joints. And again, like, after a minute, like, if you don't know how to connect to a muscle, you'll find it. And if the sets are too short, you'll never be able to kind of cross over to that mind muscle connection people talk about. Cause again, a lot of people think it's lip service. No, and that's where the focus comes in. Like, you're not just trying to get through the set. And that's why a lot of them are looking at the muscles they're trying to work. This is like, they're putting all of their neurological activity to that muscle. And not everybody has that level of focus. It is literally like, you know, superhuman level of laser focus. The posing is interesting too. I think what I mean, best practice, bodybuilding is, it's not like firefighting. This is an individual sport.
Correct.
And where bodybuilding has dangers to it is the slippery slope. And this is all things, right? Comparison is a thief of joy. This, you can't worry about, like, I can't worry about what you're doing. You can't worry about what I'm doing. We can support each other. We can learn from each other. But this is a totally individual pursuit. And when you start comparing, you'll never be happy because someone will always have a better muscle. Someone will always be more conditioned or have more size and strength. You got to focus on your individual gifts and also your progress along the way. And that's when the slippery slope of surgeries and drugs and all these other things come into play. But that's where it is. Like, that's where the beauty of it is. It's like, how can I max out gifts I've been given?
Yep. I'm so sorry. That's a key point as well is, it is a you versus you sport, you know, it's a you versus you art form. And that's what I've enjoyed as well. And I've said that for years. I was like, the person that's up on stage is the me versus the 13 other iterations of me, the 13 other versions of me. So I'd be like, where am I now? Where was I before? How am I better? How am I worse? And how do I get to the next step? Because because also as a competitive bodybuilder, it's a subjective sport. So somebody can say, I like this person because of X, Y, and Z. Someone can say, I like this person for X, Y, and Z and have a different mean. So if I were to, I had learned over time to not rise and fall myself off of the outcomes and results that come or don't come to me. Be able to be focused on like that which I can control is my effort, my commitment, my dedication, my focus, and my like ability to act on those things, not just say those things, but act on those things that I can control. As a result, anything else is irrelevant at a certain point because it is not mine. It's not for me. And I enjoy also that you said, like, you know, whatever it is that you have working within that. And like, for example, you talk about me and quads, like you and hamstrings, man. I mean, even still,
if we could combine them, we could change it.
We could put ourselves on this wall, like the two-headed superhero, like the BJ Jordan.
But like, we have to, like, you're going to send me pictures that I can overlay on this on YouTube. Like, you used to put on like 445 pound plates in the leg extension.
Yeah.
You would do it slow and focused. Like, just, I was watching it because, you know, my history of knee issues I have from football. Like, dude, I couldn't even put on a 25 pound plate without having knee pain. So the respect I had for just, and again, that's the beauty of it too, is like in natural bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. Everyone on stage has something special.
For sure.
Well, you look at the mass monsters now, they all look the same. They're all just like monsters.
Yeah.
Natural bodybuilders, they all have a special body part. It's like, you know, they may not win, but like that guy's biceps was incredible, or his quads or his calves. Mm-hmm. And that's what's unique to the natural side of it, is like we all have, everyone on stage has one thing that'll stand out, or like that's best for them, or that might be like nobody else had. But you don't see that with these mass monsters that are all on drugs. They all end up looking just like thick and huge and the same. And also, again, it goes beyond the aesthetically pleasing, like Greek Roman statue. You know what I mean? Like the Olympian level look, what it was supposed to be. But
right,
you know what's interesting too? Initially, I'm like, why people always say posing? Like, why is, I get the posing for the show because you got to show it off and you got to be able to look, you smile and be charismatic, even though like you can barely breathe. Like, so I think that the benefits of, obviously, in terms of breath management. When they would say conditioning, I think, oh no, actually what I finally understood it to be is it's just learning how to sustain the muscular contraction for as long as possible, which not only is that going to make your muscles look the best on stage because you're always flexing and showing things off, but in your own training, the more you can sustain a contraction, the bigger the muscle can grow. A lot of people, they struggle to like, they're constantly going between the muscle being on and off, right? You're doing curls going crazy like that versus a sustained, like it's active the whole set. And that's really where I think posing, and that was a big limitation for me from a strength power background. You know, you don't have to, when you're a football lineman, you don't have to sustain anything beyond 5 seconds. So the muscles are completely unprepared for that, beyond the fact that it's a more fast twitch fiber based type of thing. Right. But, and that's why, like, one thing I probably want to, just for my own practice, just on a day where like my joints don't feel very good, but I just want to work the muscles and fully exhaust them, I might just start doing some posing again. Just because I realize, oh yeah, that's really what it's all about. It's the breath control, and it's sustaining these contractions, which can not only make you look better, but they can enhance your other workouts. Am I right with that? Or what are your thoughts? Why is it so effective?
There's on the, so posing. So on the one side as a bodybuilder, like when we're up on stage, we can be, there's times I've been on stage, I've had to hold a pose for like 30, 40 seconds. So I'm being observed for 30 to 40 seconds. And I want to be observed at my best for 30 to 40 seconds. So I want to hit this pose and hold it and keep it and stay with it. If I hit it and I'm really good in the first 10 seconds and then I start to diminish there afterwards, the judges are getting a look at me that is not at my best. So from a bodybuilding standpoint, it certainly is like hit the pose, hold the pose, be committed to the pose. Bodybuilding poses, I will say, are very structurally uncomfortable. They're very like, because the purpose of posing is to present a veined version of yourself. Like not a real version of yourself. You're showing like you're twisting, you're turning, you're doing like all these things to your body so that the judges who are down there have a perspective of you. I mean, it's like a real life Photoshop, right? So now if I stand, I'm going to turn my hips a certain way. I'm going to turn my thoracic spine a certain way. I'm going to smash my pectoral with my bicep to make it look bigger than it really truly is. But I'm going to make this appearance of myself looking at my best, even if it has all these like cheats, so to say, that are just performance, like appearance cheats, right? So I do think isometric tension is a great way to train. Great way to train. I think that it's, again, like you talked about joints and stuff like that, and I've enjoyed being able to see through social media how you take care of your joints. I also appreciate the fact that you do share recovery and your own recovery, because I think that's something that is very important. I mean, if anybody is going to be doing things for their body to push it, to challenge it, you're only as good as the recovery you can do. If you can't recover, it's no good. It's no good beating yourself down without recovery. You got to be as twice as nice to yourself as you are hard on yourself. So being able to give yourself that rest and recovery is important. So I think my strong isometric tension is a fantastic way to train. It definitely minimizes, I think, you know, you're not moving as much, obviously. So for your own self, like you said, if you were going to practice like posing, practicing that strong isometric tension, it's awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
And the other piece of it too, and by the way, that was why I knew it wasn't for me, because I hated, I love the training. I like the discipline of the, like, I love the discipline. Mm-hmm. The body, again, like, it's a practice. It's a discipline when done the right way. And it's funny too, like, the first diet they put like someone on when they're sick or they're having issues, it's a bodybuilder diet. Mm. Lean proteins, it's good, clean, complex carbs like rice. And it's a low saturated fat diet. By the way, a great diet for a healthy, active individual. And not that everyone has the same diet, but what I'm saying is, like, that's what I really loved. I hated going on stage in a Speedo and doing the posing, because I've always hated taking pictures. Mm-hmm. But my job requires it now. So for me, I'm going to look at it, you know, it's a way for me to practice getting comfortable in positions, you know, because that like anything you want to be good at, you've got to practice it. You can't avoid it. Yep. And I've always been much better in video than pictures, because I've had an aversion to holding poses, or it's just weird. Like, it's honestly like an Achilles heel for me, because for example, on YouTube, it's all thumbnails. So if the more comfortable I get taking good thumbnails, they'll actually see the video. Mm-hmm. No matter how good I'm in the video, they won't even look at the video unless I take a good thumbnail. Right. So that's the other piece of it too. That's interesting. Again, like, the things we try to avoid, you can only avoid things for so long before you have to be like, okay, like, at some point you got to put this all together. Go ahead.
No, I was going to get, I appreciated that on a fitness scale, on a larger scale. One of the things about bodybuilding is I'm only as strong as my weakest part. So I've spent forever getting my rest of my body to meet my quads. Because if my quads are amazing, which, I mean, inherently I'm a quad dominant individual. But that also means I've got to work on my hamstrings. I've got to work on my shoulders. I've got to work on my lats. So if I only play to my strengths, I'm avoiding my weaknesses. And if I avoid my weaknesses and I build on my strengths, that's imbalance. So from a fitness standpoint, I mean, 100%, like, being able to, I live life trying to look for my Achilles heels. And I tell you what, they keep growing and I keep working on them, because that's actualization, right? And yep. Bodybuilding for me, and I won't be too philosophical, bodybuilding was always a hope of like communicating self-actualization. Like, this is me at my fullest potential. And that's where I say it's like outwardly and inwardly as well. And like, even for my own self, knowing like, man, that thing I'm not very good at, I know that I will have to take care of it. I know that I will take care of it. And I think that's a healthy thing for any one of us who is aware of those things to exercise.
Well, you know, the other thing I'll close out on this, because again, I think there's the danger too, or the stigma of like, this is for egomaniacs that are vain and everything else like that too. And again, it can definitely go there. And there's certainly those that gravitate to that. But as someone who grew up overweight, and, you know, still to this day, I work on the confidence in what I see in the mirror. It'll always be that way for me because of how I came up. But the bodybuilding in its proper pursuit is supposed to build confidence. It's not supposed to make you feel bad about yourself.
Correct.
And that's where I had some issues with it too, is that, you know, again, it's not about like, oh, the comparison piece, but also like, you're using this as a tool to fall more in love with the person you see in the mirror, not to be a narcissist.
Correct.
To get rid of all the baggage that you have about yourself, right? Because if you can look in the mirror and like show some stuff off and feel good, that like level of energy and presence, you can bring that to anything you do. And it matters. It matters. If you're going in like this, all meek and stuff, it's unfortunate. They're not going to give you the time of the day. But if you go in with confidence and you believe in yourself, and especially like when you start to see progress through the mirror.
Yeah.
You build confidence and you start showing your smile, right? Like, again, that's what, like, body language matters. And that's where I think, again, like, it was a weakness for me. It still is to this day. And then I see someone like you who's able to smile and really show it all off in a special way. And that's where everyone's eyes went on the stage. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, the goal of it is to help you build your physical confidence, not to lower it. And if that's not happening, then you got to look at something's off.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to someone in the space, or, you know, just be more, you know, kind to yourself about the process too. Cause again, it's not about it comparing. It's about you improving yourself within reason. Right. So in finishing off here, I want to talk about, like, the business you were talking about, like, how you're staying in shape these days. And then you can let people know kind of where, you know, just get some closing thoughts as someone who is just not only in great shape and continues to be at, you know, approaching 40 here in a couple months, but as someone who teaches people that save lives, mm-hmm. how to take care of their minds and bodies to do it at the highest level. And then also as a busy dad, setting an example at home.
Right on. Yeah. I appreciate that a lot, man. So where fitness is at me now, I'm not competing in bodybuilding at this point. It'll probably call me back to the stage one of those days, and maybe I'll have a walker. Maybe I won't have a walker. It depends on how long I choose to wait. So, but a lot of learning different things I have to address in my body, different issues that I probably had at a very young age that was not made aware of until a couple years ago. A lot of corrective exercises, a lot of things just to, like, I live my life actively. That's why health is so important to me too. Like, I want to, like, go to places and see the things and, like, touch the stuff and, like, talk to the people and, like, just experience it. And for me, that's done through with being there, being out there, and just, you know, like, so taking care of my body has been huge. I do a lot of farmer carries, a lot of overhead farmer carries, a lot of small muscle work, trying to get tiny little guys in my body, trying to get this right glute med to do what it's supposed to do. The dude's a coward back there, let me tell you. He don't want to work, but I got to make him work. So, so that's very much, I've definitely leaned into the fact that, like, being creative is just a critical part of myself. Kind of relearned it later on in life. Bodybuilding was always that expression, but I'm not bodybuilding, finding other ways to communicate that. So, I love trail running right now. That's probably just I'm quadruple right now thinking about running through the trails. I enjoy climbing trees. It is fantastic. Feels good. It feels right to me. Some of the other communities and worlds I'm a part of that are maybe more niche, that's like common practice. It's like, okay, so, like, here's the techniques you need to swing your leg around and come up across and pull yourself over. I definitely try to, biking is an amazing thing for me too. I just like getting around my neighborhood on my bike, like going grocery shopping for this tiny little dog. He's about 5 pounds. He's been asleep this whole time. Like, I like to go get his dog food on my bike. And I, like I talked about creativity, I enjoy doing life modeling. So I get to use my physical form as a means by which artists can draw and create. And I have to practice being still, which is not easy for me. So I have to go right into here and go into breath and to go into stillness and be in a sedentary position for upwards to 30 minutes in order to use what I have thankfully been given and also built for artists to recreate. That's fun. I also, my game day is the music I enjoy. It's involved a lot with your body. So a lot of hardcore punk metal shows, I treat them like they're a competition. So I make sure I get a really good rest the night before. I might go into a sauna. I'll make sure I stretch. I'll make sure I have good food so that in my own self at these shows, I can express myself like through my body again, and then maybe jump off the stage a few times, maybe run in a circle. You know, like, mosh pitting is a glorious communal way of just enjoying others. It's that from outsiders looking in, it looks away, but those of us who are in it, I have probably found no greater affection than in a mosh pit. There's no, I get tons of hugs. I give tons of hugs. so much affirmation, so much kindness. Someone falls down, someone loses a wallet, someone loses a phone, they're going to pick back up and it's going to be given back to them. Like the greatest degree of us looking out for us that I've probably found in like a collective space. But that's a big fitness thing for me too, where like I will work out and I know that I am exuding things that help me in a mosh pit. So it helps my functionality matter. It makes my flexibility matter. Because as a 21-year veteran, I could point to the firefighters to go and do the stuff. I personally don't want to do that. But now having shifted in some ways in fitness towards, you know, like an aesthetic matters for life modeling. And my flexibility, my endurance, my strength, my power, all that stuff matters in the mosh pit. It's a blast. It feels reinvigorating. And then there's just a tremendous amount of peace for me and running through the trails, biking, running, period. Lifting will always be there. It's been fun. So my business, I didn't talk about my business. So have a great time with that. That is a lot of fun. I do fitness education. I've done it for firefighters mostly, but it's accessible to whomever or what have you. I will say in that, taught with Perform Better. I've done a few different things in the past. And the goal is just to take all of what I've said here and give it like practical application and a 7-step process of B-Dynamic training. So the business is B-Dynamic training. And it's developed encouraging people to utilize a system of training that is meets everyone at where they're at and supports them into where they're going through 7 steps of developing a fitness program that they can utilize. I will give my Instagram. I know we said before,
BJ, I know before I said I wasn't gonna do it, but I changed my mind.
Well, why not? And by the way, send me the link as well. We'll drop the link to B Dynamic Training to the show notes as well for those interested.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. Yeah, so on Instagram you can find as jponder911. I have fun out there. I'll send you some videos of me also like playing out in the woods. That might be worth breaking up some of just our conversation, but that's all I have, my friend. I mean, is there anything more you'd like for me to give to you, sir?
No. I mean, look, I appreciate all your time here, guys. It's been 90 minutes. A simple like, share, and subscribe mean a lot to us. A 5-star rating, which takes a second. A review, which you could say BJ Podcast good. That's all I'm asking for. Nothing more than that helps us get out there to more good people like you. So we appreciate it. But As your senior and you're about to enter the 40-plus mark, you're already on track doing the right stuff. To me, fit over 40 is it's a lot of fixing, fixing the sins from the past physically or past injuries or shortcuts. It's a lot of maintenance. Mm-hmm. You got to move to maintain. Yes. I'm not saying you can't gain, but you're entering a state of maintain more than anything else. And then it's also fun. It's a permission to not have to punish yourself anymore or to try to think or to try to like prove you're what you were when you were young. Yeah, it's great to be able to still do great stuff. And the pursuit of that is amazing. But it's also understanding too, you know what? Just go have a little bit of fun. Go bike. Play with your kids. Right. You know, like, have fun. And even if it means you're leaving some gains on the table, you got to understand that this is a long, long race. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And you got to stay in the game. Why don't you close us off on that?
Yeah. So I didn't go into the aspect of being a busy father, 3 children, and this could be a whole other 90 minutes and it will not be. So it's probably a good thing we didn't tap onto that. I have no better reason to be engaged in my fitness than for them. I have taught in classes. I said, I've enjoyed all the things I have learned in fitness, but I have never learned more than I have from those 3 little humans. And the way that is, I enjoy being able to pick up even my daughter when she's 15 years old now, pick her up from the couch and carry her up to her room and she's kicking and screaming, or be able to just play catch or play tag or just be engaged with my children in ways that I know they deserve. And my health and my fitness has definitely had that as a focus of, I want to be able to pick up these things so that I can be able to do whatever it is that they need of me. And that's also a degree of passionate pursuits and like worlds and communities that focus on like primitive movement, focus on childlike movement, be able to restore ourselves back to some of those things through like, you know, healthy mobility. But speaking to the my three children, Hira, Makayo, and Kato, there's no question that they definitely are an inspiration for all the things I have and goals of longevity.
And again, I've shared this too. Like sometimes it's like, I got nothing left, but you know what? My dog has a ball in her mouth. I'm like, let's do some tug of war. Let's go in the pool and we'll do some sprints and some resisted stuff in the pool together. And again, I get a full body workout. Did it have the focus and or the intent of maybe what would happen in this space? Maybe not, but I got what I needed out of it. And so did she, and it was fun. And it's something that, you know, it's important to make this as fun as possible. If it's miserable, only elite level individuals can do misery for a long period of time. Most people can't sustain that. And by the way, it doesn't have to be miserable. It can be a mix of hard and fun. So I think it's just an important point to make. And again, people look at people like you and they're like, there's no way he would just go biking today for his workout. But it's like, they don't get it. Like, he's already done all this work, and it's much easier to maintain and sustain than it is to build. Not that you still don't do stuff that can build. Again, that's not what I'm saying, that you can't do building over 40. But again, it's an older building. Older buildings, they need a lot more maintenance. And, you know, they already have their structure in place. It's just about making a better look and feel and design, isn't it?
Yes.
Bro, that's what bodybuilding is. Dude, thank you so much for this. You are a special individual. I could tell it right away from meeting you. You have a true presence about you, and your kindness, your generosity, your focus, and your passion continues to guide you in helping others and leading by example. And it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, BJ. I appreciate you, man. You be well, and to all your viewers, be well as well.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back with more, and be sure to like, share, subscribe, and stay tuned for more. Peace.